Yes, I do.
Much like the previous film, Horrible Bosses 2 gave me a great idea.
Okay.
We should kill our bosses at oneofus.net.
You
know, they're kind of dicks. They don't pay us very much. We got to work all the time.
Yeah, much like Charlie Day, I don't think you've thought this one all the way through.
No, but that would mean suicide, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. You are discussing a suicide pact right now.
I heard it's painless.
You think when you say, hey, I'm going to be my own boss, that you're not going to be a dickhead boss, and yet somehow still.
I tell people all the time, they're like, what do you do? I'm like, I work for myself. It's a great job, but my boss is a dick.
Yes, we are reviewing the sequel to 2011's Horrible Bosses, titled cleverly Horrible Bosses 2.
And you know, when you're reviewing a comedy sequel, it's got to be good. Just like...
Aliens.
Aliens. Hilarious.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Groundhog's Day 2.
Groundhog Day 2. I loved Edge of Tomorrow. I think it's great.
And Dumb and Dumb. No,
yeah,
right.
See?
How many comedy sequels are actually funny?
See, okay. I have a soft spot for Ghostbusters 2.
See, I understand that. A lot of people do. I can't quite go there only because, the same problems Hangover 2 does. It's like formula, replug, movie.
Yeah, it really does.
But I'll give, and I know this is basically the same thing as that, but I have a soft spot because when I saw it for Airplane 2.
Okay, no. Airplane 2 is okay, that may be the one sterling example of a comedy sequel that I can think of. Unless you count the further Vacation movies as sequel to Vacation, because I think Christmas Vacation is amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The original's still much better, though. Is everyone where the sequel's as good as, if not better?
Well, see, but that's the thing, is then we're splitting hairs when, in most cases, it's like, first one is usually pretty good, and then the second one is like, why the fuck did I waste my time?
Do the Monty Python films count?
No.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't be looking forward to Pitch Perfect 2.
Well, see, now there's a conundrum.
I mean, because it's like a comedy musical.
Mumbling words. Not pointing out problems.
Step Up 3 is the best of the Step Up films.
Yeah.
Mumbling words, not admitting.
Anyway,
it's a comedy.
Yeah, well.
Step Ups aren't, there's some funny bits in Step Up, but yeah.
Yeah, not strictly a comedy. Anyway, this is, at least on paper, strictly a comedy, and we are the Unusual Suspects. Strictly speaking, not really critics, but we do our best. I'm Chris.
JC.
Brian.
Elliot.
And we are going to review the shit out of this bitch.
We are, and I think it's a bad omen that we spent the first 5 minutes of the review talking about other movies.
Ooh, Adam's Family Values.
Yeah, no.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, I like it. That's really good. Damn. I tell you, the fact that we're discussing other movies is sort of emblematic for my opinion of this movie is that it's just sort of forgettable. Just sort of like it's going to be here for a few weeks and I'm never going to think about it again until 2 years from now on Black Friday, I pick it up for $4 from Target.
You have a problem.
It's not a problem if you don't admit it.
No, you need to talk to somebody about your addiction.
You know what? I am
movies.
On board with that philosophy.
See, Brian and I figured out a cure to the problem, which is you just get into a position where you don't have to pay for them anymore. They just send them
to you. Why are you going to lump me into sounding like a dick?
Oh, no.
It's why do I got to be the other horrible boss in this company?
No, it's not that you sound a dick. It's just like, much like me, you are a dick. In this scenario, so,
guess who's getting their Batman set stolen?
No.
It's a quantum theory of dickishness.
Larceny!
That is a beautiful Batman set.
I guess,
don't get him started.
I guess ultimately the problem with this is that, whereas I actually really enjoyed the first movie, and I didn't expect to, Jason Bateman had a string of, like, similar failed comedies of and did after as well, where he's playing the one straight guy, not sexually, but you know, to other people.
The straight man.
Depending
the
on this
man
movie.
To other people being ridiculously absurd and probably absurd.
It's a carryover from Arrested Development. He was playing his character from Arrested Development in all of these sort of
He's been typecast.
Yeah, we're going to capture that energy, you know,
kind of thing. I think maybe two of his films I can think of, he wasn't playing that role.
That one we just saw, is where I leave you.
And then Bad Words.
Bad Words is great, though.
Yeah. But, you know, I was like, look at the trailers, the first one going, all right, here we go. And then I found it surprisingly funny. It was from director Sean Anders, from director Seth Gordon, who'd had his share of hits and misses. I mean, you launch with King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters.
Which is great.
And then you end up at Identity Thief.
Which is the worst thing I've seen that year.
So, you know, he's had his
laugh at the fat
misses.
Woman. That's what we're going to do.
But regardless, the strongest part of that film was not just that it had a remarkably clever script, I thought, but that Jason Bateman, Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Jason Sudeikis had this great comedy timing with each other.
They
just had terrific chemistry as a sort of like the conversations keep erupting into this kind of chaos, and they're all talking over each other, and it's actually works. This movie chooses to stamp it with pretty much the same formula. You know, take these guys, put them in a situation where to be able to continue on with their working lives, basically, they have to commit a crime. The only thing is they're pretty goddamn near incompetent. No, they're well past incompetent.
Yeah, they're pretty goddamn stupid.
I mean, and, you know, as I was watching this, I was also thinking, you know, in many ways, they're just trying to create kind of a weird sort of modern Marx Brothers type thing here.
Yeah.
With, like, you know, Jason Bateman is the guy who's the smartest of them, but still stupid enough to hang out with these guys all the time.
I feel like I was watching Three Stooges at one point where, like, they just had that shtick going so well.
There was literally a point where he hits one of them and then hits the other one. He's like, what was that for? And he's like, oh, you're friends with him. And it was like, he calls him a chowderhead and you got the whole effect right there.
But, you know, like, that all that's here again. In this sequel, I mean, I feel like that those guys haven't like lost any quality of having that chemistry. The problem is the actual material they've been given to say just isn't as tight, and the situation is even more implausible than the first one. Part of the problem is you've got a different director, Sean Anders, and you've got a different writers, Anders and John Morris, totally different crew making this film, of which there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth about on the internet when it was announced originally, because the original plan was going to be the whole team from who made the first one, and they backed out.
Produced by Brett Ratner.
Identity Thieves. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Which of all the movies to have a team go to bat for on the internet? Horrible Bosses. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, it's like, let's get behind a noble cause.
Hey, to be fair, the internet will go to bat about weird shit. But all the time.
That's true.
But it is one of those things, like, a lot of people really liked the first one, because it wasn't one film that you expected to be as funny as it was. And, like, you know, you go, oh, root for the underdog. You know, what are the odds the sequel could be any good? Not high.
So here's
I got it. 22 Jump Street.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
Mother. See, and you know why that works? You know why that's a sterling example? Lord and Miller.
Yep.
Anyway,
sorry.
I had a point.
I need to buy that when I'm on
my way. Oh. My theory about if they do a third one is that it's going to be a heist, because apparently the way that you make these movies is you pick three guys that are the opposite of criminals and you just spin a wheel of crime that they can commit. The first one, it was murder, and in this one, it's kidnapping.
Yeah, in this, you're like, oh, these guys are doing pretty good for themselves because they've come up with this really stupid product that nonetheless people want to buy. The Shower Buddy, that basically is an attachment for shampoo and conditioner to your nozzle that automatically, so you don't have to bother operating.
Yeah,
a
no, it sounds like a really stupid. Can I buy one?
Yeah,
I could see myself like looking at SkyMall and seeing it as a real product.
I can see it as a real product. I just still think it's stupid. Have you ever looked at the SkyMall?
Well, which the problem is, people who are looking at SkyMall have so much income that they're like, I gotta spend this shit on something.
But it's like Brewster's Millions.
They immediately get contacted by a big company, like at least at first, assumably run by Chris Pine, who it's nice to see again. Who's kind
love
of this
him.
Smarmy young businessman. It's like, I'd like to buy the whole thing from you outright. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. We want to do this ourselves, the American dream. And he's like, sorry, deal's over. But guess what? He's not really the owner of the company. His dad, Christoph Waltz, comes in and goes, come on, I'm sorry for my son. I'll tell you what, I'm going to, you know, hook you up with this bank. You're going to get a loan, get started. We'll buy 100,000 units from you. No problem. Except, of course, if that was the whole movie, it would be really, really dull. But it turns out he, of course, is fucking them over, and they find themselves in the position that if they don't get the money to pay back the bank in 3 days, they're going to lose everything. Christoph Waltz is going to end up owning the whole company, yada, yada, yada. What are you going to do? Hey, I know. Let's kidnap Chris Pine's characters and get a ransom. You know, I mean, as they point out to themselves, like, look, we all have to admit that we're really bad at murder. A la the first movie. But you know what? Kidnapping might be the one that's good for us. Okay, so that's the movie. Like, try and give it even more convoluted plot line for these guys who can barely brush their own teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's a movie that's torn apart by, like, one simple thing. It's like, okay, when you're talking to Christoph Waltz, just get that shit in writing. Movie's over.
Well, that's the biggest problem. Like, it's like, just, I mean, you have to buy that people can remember to breathe who are stupid as these people.
Yeah.
Because the fact you go into this big business deal and you don't get anything on paper, you don't call a lawyer, you don't
say, that's going to be fine.
It's like, what? I mean, besides, what bank would even give you a loan without that paperwork?
There's a difference between being a normal guy who's bad at crime and being a knuckle-dragging, inbred freak who's bad at everything. And they reach a level of stupidity that I can completely understand writing them off. And I do think it's funny that the two things they add to this sequel to kind of make it its own thing our international funny man, Christoph Waltz, who is not a comedian by any stretch. I've been at roundtable interviews with that guy. Not funny. Not a sense of humor at all. Like, not just because he's German, but because he's German and doesn't have a sense of humor.
Come on, he was hysterical in that opening scene in Inglourious Basterds.
Well, not Inglourious Basterds, but I think even in the bit towards the end, I think when you force it, his awkwardness of not being funny, I think does kind of make him funny. Yeah.
Watch after the credits when they're like doing the outtakes. Watch his outtake and watch how little he fucking smiles. He's just like, God damn it.
Yeah, he looks like he wanted to kill someone.
Yeah. It's like you can't have a fake straight man like Jason Bateman and then have a real straight man like Christopher Waltz because it's like a cacophony off of each other.
Yeah. And also, the other thing they add is Chris Pine, who I think turns in an amazing performance.
Oh, he does
as Ray Liotta.
With it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's a young Ray.
He's total, like, listen to how he talks.
No, you're not wrong.
Fucking Liotta. He's
doing,
crazy.
You know, you're not wrong. He's doing like a Ray Liotta mixed with Christian Slater impersonation the entire time.
He has this line early in the movie. He's like, hey, look at all this cool shit. You guys like cool shit? And I'm like, who does he sound like? And it took me like five more. It was like that haircut. Oh my God, he's Ray Liotta, guys. It's Ray Liotta.
Honestly, his character feels like Chris Pine himself, who saw the first movie, thought it was really funny, and goes, man, I totally want to hang out with those guys.
Yeah.
And the whole rest of the thing is like, I don't need a script. Let's just make it up as we go along, and I'll just bullshit along. Chris Pine, while he might be a very talented actor, is not as funny as Jason Sudeikis, Charlie Day, and Jason Bateman, naturally.
I don't know. I thought he actually worked for it. Here's the thing about this movie is I think for a significant majority of the film, it is carried by the personalities we have and some of the dialogue, which actually feels more like riffing. Like,
yeah.
The best laugh out loud moments for me felt like ad libs.
Yeah.
There's a line that Jamie Foxx, of course, is back as Motherfucker Jones, which is one of the greatest, like, that should be a blaxploitation movie in and of itself. But he has this, they're talking about 9 to 5, the movie 9 to 5. They try to change topics and then you hear under his breath, Jamie Foxx just goes, she gets older, titties stay young. It's just like, come on, he added that at the end. That's amazing.
Well, just watching like the outtakes from the first one, I was like, okay, most of these scenes were improv multiple times and with trying different stuff, and then they saved the best one.
Which doesn't speak well to the script. It's not a compliment to the script, but I will say that I think that it can carry it only so far, and for me, that was about the beginning of the third act.
Yeah,
the first two acts, though, I was having fun with it.
You know,
I was too.
I don't. It's not even where I was like, oh, I hate this. I'm just like, this was a lot better the first time around, quite frankly. Well, I just felt like it was one of those ones that it just, like most comedies, when you have a chemistry that works and a formula that works, it doesn't work for a second comedy. Most of them.
Well, I tell you what it seemed to lose.
At least not as well.
What it seemed to lose to me is in the first movie, they really did sell you on these are bad, horrible bosses. We hate them. There was a reason for what they were doing. This one, it just seemed like, well, motherfuckers, we got to make a movie.
Well, you know,
nothing behind what they were doing.
Well, they are the horrible bosses. They're bad at being bosses.
I know they're trying to sell that, but it wasn't sold with as much urgency to where...
It's a metaphor, Elliot.
Charlie Day is not good with metaphors. Charlie Day is not good with metaphors.
As well as Jamie Foxx coming back from the first one, you've got Kevin Spacey, who basically they're stupid enough to go to prison after they put him in prison to get advice on their situation. And Spacey obviously has a great time chewing up the scenery, being like a vicious...
He had a fucking earring.
Like he is in the first one.
Yeah, that was a moment where when they walked into there, they were about to lose me because I'm like, this is just plain stupid. It doesn't make sense at all. But Spacey totally saved
me. He sells it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Spacey can do anything.
And Jennifer Aniston comes back as the dentist boss of Charlie Day in the first one, who before we were like, okay, she obviously has some sort of sex addiction deal going on. Because she was trying to sleep with Charlie Day, even though she knew he was married and demanding he did.
And he's
job.
Charlie Day.
And this one is just flat out. She's a uncontrollable freak show of a pervert like you've never heard of before.
Who honestly serves very little purpose in this movie. Like, I thought hers was kind of...
She kept me awake, so...
Well, you know what? It seems like she's in this movie just to remind us that she's hot in defiance of time.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Somewhere there's a painting of her that's getting uglier and less slutty. It's like the portrait of Horian Gray.
It's called Catherine Heigl.
It's called Katherine Heigl? Wow.
No, only her personality keeps getting uglier.
Ah, that's the state of affairs.
You know, I mean, everything is like following that same formula, but just not quite as funny as it was the first time around. And honestly, by the time we got to the third act, I was just kind of exhausted with it. I'm like, all right, I feel like I'm watching the same movie again, more or less. I mean, when you know, Bateman, Day, and Sudeikis, when they start going off on a rant together, you actually, you pay attention because you have to figure out what's going on. They're all talking at once, and somewhere in there, you know, somebody just said something really funny. It depends on which one you're following, whether or not you decide it was.
Yeah.
But, I think overall, this felt like lazy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing I say, but it just felt lazy.
I felt like they banked a lot on these guys' chemistry and their ability to riff off of each other. I would not be surprised if this is like a 15-page script, honestly. Like or they shot the treatment, because there's not a lot of structure here, and I think that does hurt it, because the jokes that are obviously planned out, the jokes that involve pratfalls or effects or whatever,
a pronunciation,
just aren't as good as, you know, just like quips and, you know, things where they're talking to each other and just riffing off each other. So yeah, I would not be surprised if they shot the treatment on this film.
Well, let's go to final thoughts and start with Elliot.
This movie, like I said at the beginning, is just forgettable. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I can't really remember the movie, honestly. Like, I'm trying to remember some of the set pieces, and it, Charlie Day is his character from Always Sunny. Jason Sudeikis is the cocky asshole he always is. Jason Bateman is the straight man he always is. The only real good parts of this movie are when they all three get together and basically become the Three Stooges. You got Rachel from Friends shows up. So that's cool. It's fine. And you got Frank Underwood from House of Cards shows up.
And you also have, Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm not sitting here and I'm not watching it as a movie. I'm watching it as the cartoon All-Stars. So, I mean, for a movie that's sort of forgettable.
If only they did wacky races, that's all
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see Walt from Breaking Bad race, the guy from The Wire. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
but it's forgettable. It really does nothing offensive. And well, it's something that I at least laughed a little bit. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 pink berries.
I was going to say, nice. In terms of offensive, because it depends how you are. My mom saw this. Once Jennifer Aniston opened her mouth, she would have left the theater.
Chris, you ignorant slut. First of all, they've already made a Wacky Racers movie. It's called Death Race, and it's awesome, and you should watch it.
No. I need these actors driving, like, Big Daddy Roth cars, okay? But with, like, smoke screens as well. So, all right.
Watch Death Race, goddammit!
Oh, many times, my friend, many times.
The remake?
I saw that once. That was enough.
The remake is like Wacky Racers.
Except Tyrese has a weird relationship with that car.
That's true.
Well, keep going, Brian.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll do my thing now. Yeah, I think that there's actually a lot that works about this. It just fizzles. I think they can't sustain it for a whole movie. I think there are some thread lines that are introduced that kind of go nowhere, which really are jarring a little bit. And I think one of those is in service of getting Jennifer Aniston back in this movie. As hilarious as I find it, that she's not only addicted to sex, but has one of the filthiest mouths you will ever hear. And I think there's a lot of wish fulfillment going on for some of us that watch Friends, hearing the things that she says. But yeah, I think the chemistry carries them to about the beginning of the third act, and then it starts to fizzle out. And I didn't think the resolution made any sense, really. It's not quite as bad as, like, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, where it's like, hey, great news, everything worked out while you were away. But I think overall, I had some laugh out loud moments that were based mostly upon these guys' ability to ad lib and play off of each other. So I think overall, I'm gonna give this 6 out of 10 Bobby Brown tracks from Ghostbusters 2.
Yes,
JC.
Oddly enough, I mean, I know comedy is completely and totally subjective. Like, I agree with
bullshit.
A lot of what Elliot and Brian said, but I really enjoyed the shit out of this. Because I agree with you saying that the film is lazy. The director basically just put a camera in front of the three and just said, go. Which, I mean, for me, totally works. Like, this director's, resume is completely hit or miss if you look all the way up and down it. But yeah, the first two acts of this, I really enjoyed. I could not stop laughing. I thought it was all hilarious all the way around. The first two acts never really failed for me. And Chris Pine, I know he's been in a romantic comedy before in This Means War, and that wasn't that good. But I would like to see him, like, maybe down the road. Like, I think an interesting pairing would be him and James Marsden, because he's proven that he's got some comedic chops. And I think the two of them together, I think it'd be something interesting if that ever came down the road, because they're two people you don't expect.
As dueling Ray Liotis.
Yeah.
We should have, the remake of 48 Hours.
Yeah. Because there are two people you don't expect to have great comedic chops. Yeah, and yeah, I mean they're all three playing the same characters they play in all of their other past endeavors. I guess I'm just not tired of it yet. Maybe I will soon enough. And I place a lot of value on the types of comedies that I can rewatch over and over again. This and 22 Jump Street are some of the only comedies this year where I was kind of like, I would watch that again like tomorrow. So I would give it 7 out of 10 Sandy Bullock movies that that Charlie Day loves.
So what, you would give 22 Jump Street 7 out of 10 rating as well?
As 22, I gave like an 8, I think.
Good Lord. All right. You rate, what do you give it? If you had to think of like a movie right now, you give it 10 out of 10, what would it be?
Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Stop that. Nobody like believes
comedy?
It.
Yeah. There is no such thing. Next.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other comedy.
Blazing Saddles.
Over and over again.
Well, if you're done interrogating Jason, yeah. sorry, maybe give your own.
Reserving his 10 out of 10 for a movie
which
that's
is good. He's holding it back, man.
But that's great, because like, that means his 10 out of 10 is going to be like...
Oh, yeah.
Chris has been dropping them left and right this year, so he's a little cautious.
I should have only had one 10 out of 10.
You've had more than one 10 out of 10.
Nope, one 10 out of 10.
Go back and listen.
It was Birdman.
Okay.
That was it. Birdman, only one. Fucking amazing. Because I remember distinctly going, like, I've never done this before, but I'm going to go ahead and...
I feel like there was one like 2 weeks ago you gave a 10 out of 10.
You give a 10 out of 10.
There's definitely been no comedy I've given 10 out of 10 to.
Anyway.
Sorry.
I feel like this is, like, yeah, you're right, JC, that, like, these guys are really good together, and probably most of this movie's actual jokes were about them improvising around an idea more than, you know, there being a written joke, which is fine. They're good at that. And funny stuff comes out of this movie pretty regularly throughout this because of that. I guess at that point I just get so exhausted with the sheer laziness of the plot that they've constructed here. It's nowhere. The first one actually had a pretty tight little plot going to it. It was fun. It was even tense at points. There's nothing in here that's even mildly tense. There's nothing in here that is clearly scripted that feels really that funny at all. And even Jennifer Aniston, while it's amusing for a minute or two, her shtick, at this point, what she keeps doing seems like taking roles that are like, oh, she's doing what you wouldn't expect Jennifer Aniston to do. It's like the corpse rattle of a career.
I don't know. I thought she was amusing my shtick for a pretty long time in this movie.
No, you were abusing your shtick.
That's
while
true.
She was on,
I mean, that is true, my friend.
I'm not sure if I agree with the corpse rattle. I do wish she would take different roles.
But she may not be getting offered them as my
That's
point,
true, you
though.
Know.
In
yeah.
fact, I doubt she's being yeah. offered them as my point. I think it's like, oh, wait, they'll hire me if I do this kind of thing. So then she's in, you know, A-release films. Mm-hmm. I doubt we're going to see a third one of these, even if this is successful. I mean, if we do, it probably is going to be pretty... I think even they'll look exhausted with it at that point. But, yeah, I guess the biggest problem is, like, where does it work for the Marx Brothers having these guys being that stupid? Nowadays, it doesn't work so much for me, where I keep going... How can anyone be this dumb?
Yeah.
And I admit, that's a, you know, thing with me. I regularly have that problem with comedies that take that. Look how stupid these people are. Isn't it funny when I go, no one is that stupid? You know, it's a thing for me. It's a pet peeve. That's my problem. Mm-hmm. But still, I found that I just didn't respond to this movie the way that I wish I had, the way you did, JC. I wish I had liked it a lot more. I couldn't completely get with it. So I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 computer programs designed to do nothing but create flat formulaic scripts as sequels to films.
Awesome. Yeah, 5,000.
And there's the subjectivity. I think all four of us said a lot of the same things.
It's just how it hits you. And also, I liked the movie to a certain point, and it got the same score that Chris gave it, even though he didn't. But you know what? This is the most arbitrary rating system ever, and I like it.
Listen to what we say, not what we say.
Yes.
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 Yes.